You know, I've been through a lot of Easters, and you'd think I'd be dry by now. But I find whenever we take time to just focus on what Christ has done for us, I mean really focus, not just quick glance, but when we really look at what he's done for us, it gets me every time. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 19. Actually, we'll read verses 16 to 19. Does somebody have a Kleenex? Thank you very much. Turn the mic down. On the names and titles of Jesus. And this morning we're going to look at one which I think answers Ariel's question and helps us focus again on the meaning of this day. Well, let's read about actually two names, two titles, found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19. There Jesus says, "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions.'" Jesus was saying that the people of his day were calling him a friend of sinners. That's an interesting title. What in the world was meant by a friend? Now, back then, as in our day, I'm sure people mean different things by friends. I've been to the Khan of Khalili and people say, "My friend. My friend, come and spend your money." Now, what does the term friend mean in that context? In that context, it means if I'm going to be his friend, it means I give him my money or I spend something. So his friendship in that context would mean he would be taking something from me. In sharp contrast, we remember what Jesus said, that no greater love has anyone than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we've got everything from, on one the end of the spectrum, the term that a friend is someone who gets something from you, to Jesus' definition, which a true friend is one who will give everything for you. And there's lots of variations in between. And so we have many different meanings of friend. What did the people of Jesus' day mean when they called him a friend of sinners? Well, in coordination with calling him a friend of tax collectors and sinners, they also said that he was a glutton and a drunkard. Now, whether or not that is true, we know it wasn't true, because the scriptures speak against gluttony and speak against drunkenness. And so we know that Jesus wasn't a glutton and wasn't a drunkard, but he was doing something which gave them the impression that he was. What was he doing? He was eating and drinking with sinners. In other words, he was having meals with them. He was probably even attending their parties. In other words, he was hanging around with them. He was enjoying company with, and he was prioritizing their relationship. I cannot hang around with you today and also be at the ballpark. I can't be in two places at one time. And to choose to be here means I choose not to be there. For Jesus to choose to spend time with tax collectors and sinners meant that he was choosing not to spend time with certain other people. And so we get an image or an idea of what the crowd meant when they were talking about Jesus being a friend. It obviously meant somebody who prioritized relationship with a certain individual. It was a priority. Spent time with them, ate with them, drank with them, hung around them. Now, to get the true sense of the meaning, I believe there's another scripture that gives us a window on what they meant. You see, we could do a word study on friend throughout the scriptures. And I tried that this week. I looked at various passages and they just didn't fit. Because often what Jesus meant by friend, or what other people meant by friends, wasn't was intended in this passage. So why say, well, who was saying this? Jesus was saying to the people, these people are saying of me that I'm a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So what did they mean? Well, there's another passage in the scripture where these same people use the same word. And look at its context. John 19, verse 12. This is when Jesus is before Pilate. And Pilate is about, he's trying to set Jesus free. The verse says, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. Here they use the term, but give the backside of the meaning. And basically, to not be a friend would be to oppose someone, to not support them, to dishonor them, to be disloyal, and to avoid the partnership that you are supposed to have. To turn that positively, they were implying, if you, Pilate, are going to be a friend of Caesar, then you are required not to oppose him, you are required to support him, you are required to honor him, you are required to be loyal to him, and you are required to be in the partnership that you are duty-bound to perform. That's what these people meant by friend. Pilate was challenged to be that kind of a friend to Caesar, and they were saying that this is the kind of friend Jesus was. To who? To who? To sinners. To tax collectors. I don't know about what you feel about the guy who comes after you for tax. Many of us are used to it. But back then, they were the scum of the earth. They were traitors. They were their own people who had sold out to the Romans and are now coming back to their people because of the money they were making and overtaxing and living royally in the midst of the people's poverty. They were scum to the people. And yet Jesus chose to hang around with them, to be a friend of them. He was a friend of sinners, of tax collectors, of prostitutes. He hung around going to the parties where prostitutes were. Now, what would you do if you heard that your pastor was hanging around with prostitutes? I mean, seriously. I'd probably get my eviction notice next week. Now, Jesus wasn't engaged sexually with them, of course, because the Bible says he was absolutely pure. But he prioritized friendship with people like that. He chose to hang around publicans. Those who were very public. In other words, Jesus chose to be friends with people who blew it and who knew it. All of us have blown it, but not all of us admit it. These people, their categories in life were so obviously less than perfect, they couldn't hide it. And I find it amazing that Jesus chose to give those people dignity. He chose to give those people the honor of his relationship. He chose to support them. He chose to be loyal to them. Do you not find that amazing? I've heard people say over the years that Christianity is a crutch. I had a guy say that to me one time, and I said, yeah, you're right, but I'm a cripple. You see, people who don't think they're cripples don't need a crutch. I know very well. By the way, I'm off my crutch today. Did you see that? A little over a week ago, I had surgery, and I was limping along for a couple days. Without a crutch, I could not stand. Now, somebody would come along and say, crutches for weak people. I would say, exhibit A. But people who have their full use of their legs don't even think about needing a crutch. And in a sense, that's what Jesus said. When asked why he hung around those kind of people instead of with the religious establishment, Jesus said, those who think they are healthy, they don't need a doctor. It's the sick people who know they need a doctor. It's those who blew it and who knew it. Those are the ones that Jesus chose to hang around. Do you qualify this morning to be Jesus' friend? Now, if you're one of those here this morning who you've got it all together, you may be a very nice person, you may even be very religious, but if you've got it all together, you won't be in Jesus' inner circle of friends. You see, the folks who made it closest to the heart of Jesus are the ones who recognized how far away they were from purity and how much they needed his forgiveness. And how desperately they wanted out of their sin. Those were the ones who Jesus considered his closest friends. Wilbur Chapman wrote, "Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end." When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and he dropped his own precious one-of-a-kind glass bowl, if you will, to use the illustration that I used earlier, he dropped that purposely because he wanted to catch those who were falling. He wanted to catch people who blew it and who knew it. And even though his life was very precious to him as yours and mine is to us, he was willing to let go, to let it be destroyed in order to rescue those whom he considered his friends. And all throughout history, Jesus has invited people to allow him to catch them. I've had some falls in my life. Sometimes they were very quick, like tripping and you fall on your nose. Other times I fell from heights. And there was a chance for me to yell, "Help!" Now, if there would have been somebody around, maybe they could have caught me. Most times I've just hit the ground. This morning, dear friends, Jesus is still a friend of sinners. And he loves to catch people who blew it and who knew it, and people who say, "Help." Those are the ones the Lord loves to rescue. From the cross, Jesus offered forgiveness to the very ones who were nailing him, to the very ones who were yelling obscenities at him, to those very people he was extending forgiveness. Talk about loyalty. Talk about honor. Talk about dignity. This morning, on this day when we remember his crucifixion, he invites you and me to come to the cross as well. And he invites us to name those very things which have made us less than perfect, those very things which are causing us to fall, those very things which cause us to hit the dirt over and over, falling flat on our faces, those very things which destroy our marriages, those very things which are causing our parenting processes to be less than whole, those very things which are causing pain in the family, those very things which are dividing us as brothers and sisters in Christ, those very habits of the heart which nobody knows but you, those very things which cripple you and keep you less than victorious. This morning, Jesus invites you and me to come and bring those very things and place them upon him. He's wanting to catch us, but he only catches people who cry help. He only asks that we would do that. Horatius Bonar wrote, "I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, white in his blood most precious, till not a spot remains." Today, a day of death, is called Good Friday because Jesus let go of his precious life and caught all those who call to him. Why don't we take some moments to think very specifically in our own lives this morning about what it is that would qualify us to be his friends? What is it that puts you into the category of sinner? What is it that puts you into the category of being needy? Of needing a Savior. If you qualify, what is it that qualifies you? And what do you need to bring this morning and lay on Jesus so he can catch you? Think about that as we continue our worship.